Whenever you worry about the way the world is going, you can find great comfort by reading the last chapter of the story. For believers in the race of life, there is a certain future which follows a great final battle here on planet Earth. For details of that future, stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. The end of world history is before us as Erwin Lutzer concludes a look at the final battle, the ultimate destiny of the saved and the lost, at the return of Christ, who will literally reign on this earth.
It says in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9, that the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth even as water covers the sea. And of course water covers the sea. What else would cover the sea except water? Come to think of it. And that's the way the knowledge of the Lord shall be over the whole earth. It says in Isaiah chapter 2, in that day many people shall go and say, come ye unto the mountain of the Lord, unto the house of the God of Jacob, for he shall teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For the word of the Lord shall go forth from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I'm told that that verse, by the way, is inscribed here in the United States in the United Nations building. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Are you telling me that the United Nations is going to bring that about? The United Nations is going to cause the nations of the earth to put down their armaments? You say, well, we're living in a period of peace. Of necessity, it is a deceptive peace. I know some of you are saying, Pastor Lutzer, you seem to be a pessimist today. I know I am, but remember that a pessimist is nothing more than an informed optimist. There is no way in the world that the United Nations is going to fulfill the prophecies in the Old Testament that pertain to God's millennium and the reign of Jesus Christ on earth. Now, there's a third event. First of all, Jesus Christ will return to the earth in two stages. He will rule the earth, and finally, he will judge the earth. He will judge the earth. At the last part of chapter 19, the beast and the false prophet who deceived so many people during the tribulation period are already thrown into the lake of fire. And after the 1,000 years are ended, Satan is allowed one more time to try to get up in a rebellion. I don't know why. God didn't seem to tell us why this was necessary. But he goes to the ends of the earth and he discovers that because people in the millennium are actually bearing children, because they are in their earthly bodies, there are some children who have grown up during those 1,000 years who do not belong to God, because even if Satan is bound, the human heart is still wicked and people turn away from God, and Satan is actually able to drum up some support for his final rebellion against God. And what a pitiful spectacle it is. Verse 8, and he will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. That just really means end time ruler. Should not be confused with Ezekiel 38 and 39. To gather them together for war, the number of them is like the sand on the seashore. Say, oh my goodness, maybe they'll be able to do now what they couldn't do during the turn of events in Armageddon. Oh, my goodness. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, which is, of course, Jerusalem. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. God says, that is enough. Like taking a candle and just snuffing out the light, saying, that is it. That's the final rebellion of man and the devil. Verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever, and the degree of their torment will be determined by the number of victories that Satan won over God while he was in existence upon this planet, and therefore every single thing that he has ever done will be adequately recompensed, so that there will be a sense of justice and the equilibrium of justice throughout all of eternity. We are going to behold the incredible justice of God. It's part of my message next week. And we're all going to be able to say that God did all things well, and notice how it came out. You say, well, what about the people? Well, verse 11 and following, which I memorized many years ago in the King James Version of the Bible. It's one of the most awesome, frightening passages of Scripture for those who do not know Jesus Christ, because the dead of all the ages are going to be resurrected and personally and individually stand before God. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, before whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. You say, well, I thought salvation is by grace. How come they're judged according to their works? They are not judged to see whether they will enter into heaven. They are judged on the basis of what they did with what they knew. Accurate, precise judgment, so meticulously weighed out, it would be like a pharmacist weighing out your prescription, so that the balances of justice are perfect. All of them will suffer forever, but not all of them will suffer the same degree forever. It will depend on what they did with what they knew. And then in chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation, which obviously we cannot get into, that is heaven for the saints. The description is there. Three great events. Christ returns to the earth. Christ rules over the earth for 1,000 years. And then Christ judges the earth and all the inhabitants that have ever been a part of the earth. Now, I want to tell you, my friend, that you can tell your love for Christ or your indifference toward him by whether or not you're looking forward to his coming. Are you glad to see him? If he were to come this afternoon, would he spoil your schedule? Would he rain on your parade? Do you have some things in mind that are more important than seeing Christ? If so, you don't love him very much. Even if he saved you, you still don't love him. There's an old Scottish story about some men who were on a fishing expedition, and they fished for weeks and they were gone. And when they arrived at the shore, many of the wives of the men were there to greet their husbands. And the skipper of the ship looked and he noticed that there was Bill's Mary and there was Joe's Margaret, and it looked like all of the women were there, but he looked and he couldn't see his own wife, and he was quite frightened, wondering if something had happened to her. And finally he trudged up the hill where they lived, and he came into the house, and she came and she threw her arms around him, and she said, oh, she said, I've been waiting for you. And he said, yeah, but all the other wives were watching for their husbands. Ouch. You see, some of us say, yes, we're waiting for the Lord, but are we watching? Blessed is he, the Bible says, whom the Lord finds watching. The Lord finds watching. I wish I could convey this to you with more articulation, but I have to say that one of the things that God is certainly proving is that nobody ever wins over him. Now, I've emphasized this so often that I hesitate to say it again, but there is no such thing as you being here today saying, I can hold out on God, or I'm not going to submit to him, or I'm not going to be saved. Whatever it is, that resistance of the human heart, when God points out sin in your life as a Christian, for example, and you say, I'm not going to give it up because, then you rationalize, you cannot win against God. You can't. Neither in this life nor in the life to come, because God always has the last word. He writes the last page. If there's anything I want to emphasize today, it is, please be wholly yielded to God and do whatever you have to do to be fully right with God and with man. Don't hold grudges against your fellow brothers and sisters. Don't be angry with God. Don't say, I know better than what God is saying, because you don't. Many years ago when I was in seminary, I heard a story of a beautiful woman by the name of Toni Jo Henry, evidently was her name. Her mother taught her how to dance, how to hold her cigarette, how to mix her drinks. And this young lady, because of her beauty, was very, very popular. But as sometimes happens to beautiful women, she became involved in immoral relationships, and of necessity, those relationships end up with regret, guilt, anger, hostility, alienation, and all those other things. And so one day, in a fit of anger and rage, she actually killed her boyfriend, and she was put in jail. And I'm told that when someone visited her in jail, she said, quote, I always knew that God ran the whole show, but I tried to steal one small act. God runs the show, and nobody is going to steal one last act. Could I urge you to hurry to Jesus Christ, who died that you might be forgiven and cleansed, so that you can be welcomed by God, and so that the anger and the hostility of God towards sin is taken out on Christ on your behalf, so that you can be saved. Come just as you are, with your doubts, with your fears, with your inability to believe. You say, well, there could be somebody here today who hasn't been in church for a long time and who said, you know, what the pastor's saying today is just incredible. I don't know if I can believe all that. Come to Christ, even with your doubts. Come to Him with all your religious prejudices, all the barriers that have been formed in your mind against what I've had to say today. Just come as you are. You know, there's a song we sometimes sing, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, because nobody can ever steal an act from God. Well, my friend, as I conclude today, I have two words, two ideas to leave with you. First of all, I've discovered that there are so many people who have hostility toward God. They are angry toward God because of unanswered prayer, because of circumstances that they know right well God could change, but He doesn't. And as a result, I've known people that who made unwise decisions, and they blame God. Why didn't God stop me? Would you give up that anger today? Would you take from your heart, or at least invite God to take from your heart, the kind of hostility that is keeping you from personal faith in Jesus Christ? That's the first word that I have for you today. And the second is simply this. It is so very important for you to respond to Jesus Christ. I ended the message by talking about one of my most favorite songs. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that many people listening to this broadcast will come to Christ. May they come as they are to receive the gift of eternal life Jesus purchased for those who believe.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has concluded his message, The Final Battle, part of his series, What Is God Up To? A Big Picture Overview of God's Purposes. On tomorrow's Running to Win, the last episode in our drama begins. Don't miss a look back at planet Earth, a view of the entire track from the perspective of an eternal goal line. We believe this 8-part series will help you understand God's overall plan for the human race. What Is God Up To? Can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.